Well, Holy Spirit, speak to this morning. Amen. Let's make that our prayer. I want to talk to you about it's time to contend. I remember when I was about 4 years of age, my dad taking me to the little underground mine where he worked. Not those big underground mines with the elevators that goes down this way, but little push mines that find a hill, side of a mountain, and start pushing back into that mountain and getting the coal out. And he was working in a mine like that. And I remember, about 4 years of age, him putting me on the conveyor belt with him. I don't know how many laws he would break today if he did that. Put me between his legs, and we went riding on that conveyor belt back into that little push mine, like several hundred feet. We got back there. He turned his miner's lamp off that was on his helmet, and it was the darkest dark I'd ever seen. Then he brought me back out, and I still have graphic memories of the miners and the mine and so forth. When I graduated high school, I enrolled into junior college, and for the second part of the summer, they had the summer divided in two sections. And I had about 4 weeks after graduation before I had to start junior college. And my dad had tried once again to do a little underground push mine. And so I worked for him in that little underground mine for 2 or 3 weeks. And I remember very clearly, because you only had about 30, 32 inches clearance. What held it up was saw logs that they had cut, you know, firewood basically, and put wedges to hold the top from falling in. And you had to crawl back in there. So I got suited up with my helmet, my miner's lamp, and knee pads, and crawled back several hundred feet in that mine. And they had a hydraulic cutter where they'd cut that coal and it'd fall. And you had to take a coal shovel. You had to lay on your side, literally. I laid on my side and scoop that coal, pitch it over my shoulder into a shaker pan that was in the middle of that shaft. And it would vibrate the coal out to the front. Very loud, very noisy. But I remember being back in there and again turning my lamp off. Pitch dark. I'll tell you, I was ready to start college. After doing that 2 or 3 weeks, I think college was a really good idea. Really hard work. But two things I really learned. Number one, I realized how important that light was, because it was confusion and chaos and fear without that light. The second thing that I came away from those experiences with was a deep appreciation for the struggle and the strain and the hard work of my dad to provide for his family. But not only my dad, but my grandfather, who I never met. In 1937, when my dad was 5 years of age, his dad left for work, as he always did, to go work in one of those little underground push mines outside of Brea, Alabama. Later that day, someone arrived back at his house and informed my dad, his mom, and the 12 siblings that my grandfather, LaFette Lawrence, had died in a mining accident because a huge rock collapsed from the top, fell on him and some other miners, crushed him to death. And I learned to appreciate the struggle. I stand before you today as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. We are the family of God, but you and I need to know and have a deep appreciation for the strain, the struggle, and the sacrifice that so many believers that have preceded us have gone through in order to pass down to us across the ages this sacred treasure called the gospel. We have been deposited with a heavenly deposit, divine truth that has really changed our lives to know Christ. What a privilege, what a treasure, what freedom we enjoy here today, just to be able to worship like we worship and now to hear from God's word. That's a sacred trust that's been passed on to our generation. And something that you and I must not lose sight of is the fact that there is an enemy of our souls that's after our soul and after the soul of your children and your children's children. For centuries now, people have given their life in order to pass on the treasures of the gospel. And it's so important for us to understand this. Now, just like that mine shaft that I was in, when the light's off, it's chaos, confusion, and fear. You and I are now to be lights in this world of darkness. Jesus is the light that came to give light to the life of every man. And there is warfare that wants to put your light out. And so it's time to contend, because there are so many philosophies, theologies, ideologies, and a whole lot of idiotology that's out there today to bring confusion, to get you to deny Christ, to get you derailed from your walk with Christ, to get you to walk in defeat, or to get you to enter into deception. All those things are happening, so we have to contend. We're here in 2026, but even in the first century, before the apostles had died, letters were already being written by Paul and Jude and Peter, trying to warn believers to contend for the faith. Here's one of our main scriptures today in Jude chapter 1, verse 3. It's only got one chapter, but it's verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you, notice what it says, to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. If we could take these lights down just a little bit, it would help me back so to see back that way. To earnestly contend for the faith. Now this word, earnestly contend, this phrase, it's from a Greek word. It's a compound. It's got a preposition on the front of it, epi, and it's the Greek word from which we get the English word agony. It's epiagonizomai. And you can hear that word agony. So here's what Jude's saying. That word agon literally means to wrestle, you know, to wrestle, to struggle with, against. And when he put the preposition on it, Greek scholars tell us that that was to intensify its meaning. Not just wrestle, contend, but earnestly putting everything you've got into it. Think of a fight for life or death, that kind of thing. You want to earnestly contend for the faith. And notice this, that was how many times delivered? There's only one faith, if you will, one gospel truth. Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, which is the earliest letter that we have that was written in the New Testament era, he told them, if anyone comes to you and preaches a gospel different than the one I preach to you, I don't care if it's an angel, if it's me or anyone else that changes the message, let that person be accursed. Paul understood that to change the message of the gospel was to bring people back under a curse. So people doing that, that's very, very dangerous. So that's an inspired mandate that's over our life. Peter said it this way. He says, now I'm writing to you the second time to stir you up, stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. First of all, this reminds me, we need to have a pure mind. So easy for our minds to become polluted. Polluted long enough, they become perverted. And that can lead us into destruction. So he says, by way of reminder. You know, there's a tendency sometimes among believers, and listen, I'm not talking about a legitimate, genuine hunger for more always, but some people, view what's been delivered as old hat. I want to hear something new. I want to hear something different. I want a revelation beyond anything ever. I thank God for new insights to the Word. When God gives revelation, we see things we haven't seen before. But dear friend, if you're getting bored with what was once delivered, you're in dangerous territory. You're a candidate for deception. We must never stray from the foundation that's already been laid. We should never give in to the introduction of a Jesus that's different than the Jesus that we meet between the pages of Scripture. We're to earnestly contend for that faith. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of the meat and potatoes. The basics. The things that'll be here when everything else is gone. Those are the things that really matter. And that's what this message is about today. So the first thing I want to share with you in the way of four truths to remember, and listen, you could put a bunch on this list, but these four were on my heart to share concerning where we are right now in time and what's going on in culture and what we see happening around the globe. I believe these are four very important truths that we would do well to be stirred up today and remember them because they're vitally important. The first one is God's truth will outlast man's trouble. One of the methods the enemy employs to get you separated from the truth you need to travail and experience victory is to drown you with some type of trouble or to inform you of some kind of trouble. Isn't it amazing how fast bad news travels? Our fallen natures crave, you know, did you hear about? Oh, did you hear this? I'm not saying those things aren't happening because they are, but you don't want to build your life on that information. God's truth will outlast man's trouble. Paul, writing his second letter to Timothy, talks about the solid foundation of God stands. The solid foundation of God stands. When everything around you is falling, the solid foundation of God stands. Last year I preached about the man who built on the rock instead of the sand. Because if you build on the sand, there's going to be a collapse. Your mind's going to fall in on you, so to speak. But if you build on the rock, that's the steady place. God's truth will outlast man's trouble. And Paul goes on to remind us, God knows who belongs to him. And the people that belong to God, they should be those that are departing from iniquity. So first of all, the enemy wants you to live contrary to your new nature. He wants you to be involved in some type of iniquitous living, some type of immorality, some sinful lifestyle. But those that are known to the Lord, they are to depart from iniquity. And secondly, the first thing he mentions is that God knows those that are his. No matter what's going on in your world, in your life, in your family, in your marriage, God knows who you are. He knows what you need. And his truth will outlast the trouble you're facing. We're living in a time in the body of Christ where recently, and a lot of this is because of the accessibility and availability of the internet. News can travel so much faster. And it just does that way. So there's ministries and ministers that things are coming out. They're being exposed. And here's how the enemy wants to use this. See there? That's not a legitimate ministry. Everything that ministry does, Red Exit, that's what the enemy wants to do. But dear friend, you've got to remember that God's truth will outlast man's troubles. Now this is just the truth. The messenger may fail, but the message never fails. And you better make that differentiation because you're going to have a lot of opportunities to be disappointed in people. Because we fail each other. People are human. And the enemy can deceive. And the flesh can rise up. And terrible, painful choices can be made. But you got to build your life on the message, not the messenger. Christianity doesn't rest on personalities. Christianity is built on the person of Jesus Christ. And he's the solid rock. He told Peter, knowing Peter was going to fail, what you've just confessed, Peter, I'm going to build the church on that. Basically, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Later, he tells him, and we'll see that in a little bit. Later, he tells him that Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I pray for you. So you build on the rock, not the sand. You build on the rock, not the man. Not on personalities, but on the person of Christ. Not on the messenger, but on the message. If not, you'll become disappointed. You'll become discouraged. You can become disillusioned. It'll bring defeat in your life. Why? Because you're putting your faith in the wrong place. Now, we want to be trustworthy. We want to be, you know, men and women of God want to be faithful people. I believe the vast majority are. But you build on Christ. It's so important that we remember this during these days. And not get called in the swirl of all of that. And the next thing you know, you're just wanting to walk away from it. Like, well, I don't believe in the prophetic because the prophet failed. Well, do you no longer believe in evangelism? That people need to be saved because an evangelist failed? Think through these things. What are you building your life on? And we need to, listen, we need to be people when those kind of things happen. We become intercessors, not accusers. There needs to be a tear in our eye and grief in our heart. And we're going before the throne and we're praying for the people that have been hurt, people that have been damaged in some way, even the people that have failed. We need to have hearts for redemption, hearts for the kingdom to continue on and the enemy not to use it because he's going to. He's going to. All you got to do is go online 5 minutes and get discouraged real quickly. God's truth will outlast man's trouble. And you need to remember this. If you're one of those people that's discouraged and kind of maybe dealing with some doubt because of all the different things that's going on, the Lord is faithful. Maybe you're here and you've had a marriage that's failed this morning. I'm telling you, even if your spouse wasn't, God's still faithful. Even if you weren't, God's still faithful. That's where you got to put your focus now. Your failure does not have to be final. Your future can be different than the one the enemy's painting in your head this morning. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Lord, with everything that's going on, protect our minds. Thank you that you are faithful. You will be faithful to us. Lord, you will establish us so we can be stable, and you will keep us from the evil one. When you're deciding how you're going to be involved in responding to things, pray for the heart of Christ. Pray for the eyes of Christ. Pray for the love of Christ. Because listen, he wants to end evil. He doesn't want people to be hurt. But it's just a reality. This is where in Luke 22 you can read about where Jesus, knowing that Peter would fail, tells him, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Now, I don't have to prophesy this over you for it to be true. Satan wants to sift you like wheat. We got somebody praying for us. Jesus told Peter, I'm praying for you. But notice what he's praying, that your faith fail not. You see, when there's failure that happens, the enemy wants to use that failure to undermine a person's faith. And you can see that happening. Sometimes I read the responses to stuff people post, and like, I'm not going to have anything else to do with the church. And just stuff like that. Your faith's in the wrong place. Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not, and 50 days later he preached the first message on the first day of church. God's truth will outlast man's trouble. Spiritual warfare is real. And I mentioned this earlier, the enemy's gunning for your children and your children's children, and you as well. He wants to mess up your family line. He wants to mess up your marriage. He wants to get involved in your finances. He wants to deal blows to your health and so forth. Spiritual warfare is real, and for us to experience the victory we can experience, we've got to wear the armor of God. We got to know how to pray. We got to know how to use the Word, and we got to know how to contend. I think I know most of you parents in here. I think most of us in here, we'd lay down our life for one of our kids. We'd give our life for our child's life. We'd contend. But think of it in terms of spiritual. What are you willing to do to contend for their soul? For their spiritual well-being? Their spiritual health? Because our physical life is, you know, to live 80, 90, 100 years, that's something. But eternal life doesn't have an end on it. So being right with God eternally matters. I'm going to move on. The second truth I want you to remember is the kingdom, and I love this one. The kingdom of God is unshakable. Unshakable. This verse out of the book of Job, I went all over the country after I got filled with the Spirit and stepped out on faith after having been a Baptist pastor for, at that time, about 16 and a half years when I finally stepped out. But I went around sharing my testimony. This is the scripture I used to share my testimony. Because on paper, I had everything I thought I wanted in the ministry. Had a list. Yep, check, 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 check. But I got to the place where I looked at those things. I saw something in the book that I didn't see in me. I became so desperate and hungry. And then I met the Lord through the power of His Holy Spirit. And it just opened things up for me. And this is the scripture I'd use. I was at ease. When I was at ease, He has taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. Job's talking about the Lord. He's setting me up for His target. Like, He's aiming at me. And He's got me. And He's got me by the neck. And He's shaking me to pieces. And the truth is, the Lord was allowing the devil to do it. Read that book. I was preparing for this message. I got to thinking about that Jerry Lee Lewis song. Oh, I'm a movie baby. Oh, a lot of shaking going. I started to put a clip of that up there, then I thought, well, I better not. But listen, there are times in our walk with the Lord where we go through these shakings. In the book of Hebrews, we're told, I won't read all this, but basically the writer says, the Lord says, He's going to shake everything that can be shaken so that what remains, listen to this, so that what remains cannot be shaken. And notice in the middle of that verse, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God. The kingdom of God is unshakable. And there's all kind of ideologies and philosophies out there. A lot of times young people come out of church, go into certain universities, and they get the faith schooled out of them. They get educated out of the faith because of suave, slick, secular presentations. Doubtcasters behind podiums. Brainwashing the minds of young people to set them on a course that doesn't include God. Secular humanism. Evolution, that we somehow came from some tadpole that got an upgrade package. You are created in the image of God. You are so valuable to God, He gave His Son for you. Your value is only truly discovered in your relationship with your Creator. It's so important to understand this. But we as the body of Christ, the church, well, Jesus said this, that the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And that's a picture of storming the gates of hell and rescuing those held captive by the enemy. That's the power and liberating truth of the gospel. And that's what we've got to contend for. And not to be satiated and satisfied with what the world is offering us. Because it's cotton candy. It's gone in a moment. But something that's eternal is to be a part of the body of Christ, involved in expanding the kingdom of God, because the kingdom is unshakable. But you will go through times when everything's shaken. It's like you're experiencing a reset. But the Lord's using it to knock stuff out of you and knock stuff off of you that's holding you back from your destiny. He's working all things together for good. Remember, His truth will outlast your trouble. And remember, you're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because some days you turn on the news and it looks like, man, everything in the world's coming apart. Do you know a time is coming when even the, cosmically speaking, the stars will begin to fall from the heavens? But it won't change the kingdom, the nature of the eternal kingdom and the King of the kingdom, our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to declare over you this morning, if the enemy's coming against you, and maybe you're being discouraged, and maybe you feel like you're on shaky ground, or maybe you're struggling having peace or so forth, I declare over you this passage out of the book of Isaiah this morning. I declare over you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which speaks rises up and speaks against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I made a bullet list here. These are just the ideologies, philosophies, and theologies, the different things that are going on in our culture and around our world right now. Even the war in Iran right now, at the base of that, regardless of what you think about it, the people that are behind all this terrorism, their ideology is that Israel has no right to exist and neither do Christians. The spirit of Antichrist, extreme persecution. Hundreds of millions of believers today are being extremely persecuted for their faith. Radical religious ideologies, anti-Semitism, that's basically the hatred of Jewish people. The degradation of women tells you a lot when you look at how women are being treated by an ideology, where that ideology is from. Secularism, the absence of God in wisdom and decision-making and in belief. The Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Identity warfare, what's that? All this wokeism. Trying to get people to deny their own God-given natural biology. You have to mess with someone's head to get them believing that. But the enemy can do that. Human slavery trafficking. Just a few days ago, in the state of Alabama, in Bibb County, they exposed a human trafficking ring and rescued 10 children, little children, that were being, listen, they were being rented out for the night and returned. Like you'd rent a carpet cleaner from Home Depot. They're being rented out for sexual exploitation. Sexual abuse. Alabama, belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Used to be, well, we live off in the country. We don't have to worry about that kind of stuff anymore. Let me tell you, the information highway is now coming into every household. We carry it in our pocket with us. And thank God it can be used for good. And oh me, how evil it can be used for as well. Don't you think that your postal address assures you your children can't be touched? You need to be diligent, parent. Teach your kids about these catfishers. And listen, senior adults, you need to be informed. Don't ever give your personal information to somebody over the phone or over the internet. They'll make you think they'll make you think they're your best friend. They may even convince you that they're in love with you. And the next thing you know, they need a little help, then some more help. And the next thing you know, you've been exploited. You need to realize this. Talk to somebody before you make a decision like that. I've had occasions, particularly the last decade or so, someone called me and asked me about something like that. I tell them, do not respond. You unfriend. You get rid of that. That is a ploy to steal from you. I recently got a call that I had missed jury duty. I had missed a court case in which I was going to be supposed to testify as an expert witness. So the law was going to be showing up at my house and carry me to jail. But they were getting in touch with me to see if there was some kind of mistake. I could pay a fee. And you know, if you didn't know better, you would be convinced, because they told me where they were calling from, the sheriff's department, all this technical information. And you know what I told them? I said, well, first of all, whoever who's in charge of this case must be a sorry attorney, because they would at least let their expert witness know he was going to be testifying. And number two, what you're telling me exists does not even exist. And I said, I know the people down at the courthouse personally. Give me your name. I'm going to call them and find out the legitimacy of this case. Click. But if you hadn't known, it sounded so right. It sounded, guard against that. I know this is a little off base, but it's happening. And it's another way the enemy wants to wreak havoc in your life. And guys, that beautiful woman that wants to reach out to you, it's probably some little scrawny fella in a basement somewhere checking his PayPal to see how much it's grown. Okay, Lord. Number three, truth you need to remember. Divine inspiration is greater than digital information. Too many people are developing their theology from posts and blogs and podcasts from people they don't even know that are teaching things that can't even be found in the Bible. Now, please don't hear me. I use it. I want to get the word out. I do daily devotionals, and I want to get the word out there. I felt the Lord speak to me to do that. I've been doing it now for over 2 years. But not everything you hear is from the Word. All Scripture, we're told in 2 Timothy, is given by inspiration of God. That is, God's breathed on it. It's powerful. And is profitable for doctrine, that is, so that you'll know what to believe. For reproof, that is, so you'll know what not to believe. For correction, so you'll know not what to do. And instruction in righteousness, so you will know what you ought to do. The Bible provides that for us. What to believe, what we shouldn't believe, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. All of that you can get through the Word of God. Anything that contradicts that, stay away from it. Red exit, don't have anything to do with it. It won't help you grow. But you can build your life by what you find in the Word of God. And I know there may be differences of interpretations, but most of the stuff that's getting people in trouble, it's way out in left field. Know those that labor among you. A lot of people, they won't eat food from a kitchen if they don't know the cook. But if he'll let people freedom from the Word and don't have a clue who they are. The best thing is you personally get in the Word and get so much Word in you. When you hear something that's not of the Word, then you know this is not the Word. Because we can learn from each other. I'm not saying that. It'd be useless for me to be up here if I didn't believe that. But we all need to know the Word. We need to teach it to our children. Here's the deal. We are drowning in data while starving for truth. In the New Testament, Paul said in the last days, and he talks about characteristics of these false teachers, that they're going to increase. Deceiving spirits. In the Old Testament, Daniel said, in the future, there will be a time when knowledge shall increase. In other words, he's prophesying the exponential increase of knowledge, and that's now. Knowledge is increasing, multiplying rapidly in the age in which we're living. You put those two together in the end times when more information is flowing from everywhere to everybody. In the middle of that, more deceiving spirits are going to be working, and that's what's happening. Divine inspiration is greater than digital information. Notice what Isaiah said. If you want to have peace in your life, because even statistically, you can talk to therapists. My wife is a therapist, a professional counselor. You can talk to therapists, and they will tell you that there is an immense anxiety in our culture among people, especially the younger generation, a lot different than it used to be. And I believe a lot of it is due to screen time activity and what they're being. I mean, bad news is coming fast. All kind of stuff that people would never be exposed to, they're constantly exposed to. And at the bottom, you'll see the remedy for screen time anxiety. You know what it is? It's God's peace. Isaiah prophesied it. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If your trust is in God and your mind is focused on the Lord, then he will give you a peace. That regardless of what you're being pummeled by, bombarded by, surrounded by, all the anxiety, all the stuff that's happening makes you just want to get in the corner and hide, the perfect peace of God will enable you to stand up, hold your sword, declare the word, live a life of faith, contend for the faith, overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus. See God answering your prayers because you're on your knees praying instead of on your feet accusing, and you are on your knees getting answers from heaven instead of on your computer searching for Google to tell you how to live your life. You need to have the word of God in you. Note this, a 2025 Global Mind Health Study found that those who prioritize ancient scripture, that is reading the Bible, over digital media scored 30% higher on emotional stability. That's what Isaiah said. You keep your mind on God. You let him inform how you live your life. You'll have perfect peace. Man's opinions cause panic, but God's word creates peace. Last thing, you can't change the way that God wants to change you. You can't change the way that God wants to change you. The way God wants to change you is through the Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit, understanding what the Scripture says, what the Holy Spirit brings to your life, and living based on that. Because all that's rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. He's the living Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will always testify to Jesus, point you to Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. You get in the Word, you read it long enough, you're going to end up face to face with Jesus Christ, beholding His perfection. If all you do is live on the PC and let all the stuff going on in the world create anxiety, then all you're going to have is panic and anxiety and chaos and confusion and discouragement and delusion. It's Christ's perfections, not man's opinions, that's going to make a difference in your life. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no good news station is going to stay on the story more than 24 hours because something new's coming along. But you can climb up on the scripture and it'll be here when the heavens and the earth passes away. The word of God abides forever. You can't change the way that God wants to change you. Now, if you want to start a movement, you can bring the Bible in, paint Jesus up a little bit differently, and just find ways in the Bible you can convince people that their sin is all right, you'll get a following. But you can't change the way that God wants to change you. Why? Because it's a faith once delivered, and God hadn't changed his mind. You can't change the way God wants to change you. Why? Because for by one offering, Jesus has perfected forever those who are sanctified. And because there's not salvation in any other name under heaven given among men other than Jesus Christ. And because He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, I'm telling you this morning, you can't change the way that God wants to change you. You have to repent and humble yourself before holy God, call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and then live a life led by His Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. If you want to come up with something new, then you're going to be in trouble. But I'm telling you, it's time to contend. Once again, Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Look at this. We don't need a new way to survive the future. We need a new zeal to contend for the ancient paths that have already stood the test of time. Jeremiah said it this way, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Do it God's way. You'll never regret it." And your children and your children's children will ultimately thank you for it. Okay, soldiers of the cross, I want you to stand with me. Our prayer team members are making their way forward as our worship team comes. Would you bow your heads for a moment, please? You feel like you're on shaky ground this morning, or you have a lack of peace in your life. Are you one of those that feels like the troubles are so magnified in your life, you're having a hard time moving past them to have the faith you feel like you need? Come pray about that today. If you've never called on the name of the Lord and you want to become a follower of Jesus, these here will pray with you today. If you're burdened, and maybe as I was talking about your children and children's children, maybe you've got children or grandchildren that don't know the Lord, come and use this time as we respond to pray for them. Before we leave today, I just encourage you along with me, let us together realize what a sacred trust has been passed on to us through the gospel. And our responsibility and accountability before the Lord to pass that on to our children. We want our lights to shine. We want to be people of the way. Oh, Holy Spirit, who knows every heart in the room, every need in every situation. Take these scriptures today, apply them to our hearts, Help us to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, help that person whose zeal has gone wrong. That person whose fire has died low. That marriage that's struggling. That person that's sick and tired of the depression. Oh, Spirit of the living God, breathe on this people today, I ask. In Jesus' name. Those of you who need prayer, make your way forward now. We're going to begin to sing. In these next few moments, I encourage you to just step out from where you are. We believe in the power of prayer. Things can change. You may be one simple prayer away from seeing things shift and change in your life. Are there others who need to come? Please come forward. Don't live with that discouragement. There's help through the Holy Spirit. Prayer can be used of God to change things very powerfully. Are there others?
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust.
We may need some more of our prayer team members to come forward, please. Some of our elders, some of our staff, come and help, please. Are there others?
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I prove in
to come. Please carry these truths home with you today. Think through them practically. What changes can I make? What can our family do to let our light shine more brightly in these areas? What protections might we parents need to put in place? What training might we need to give? So grateful to have you here today. Thank you so much for coming. I encourage you to join us with us again this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. This altar remains open. Can we just lift our hands to Jesus for a moment? Lord, may we receive this word and may it be manifested in our lives. May we embrace the things that really matter and not be distracted by the lesser things. Have your way, Holy Spirit. May our light shine bright for Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. Now go forth, robed with His armor, filled with His Spirit, flowing in His love, in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? God bless you. The altar remains open. If you need prayer, make your way to the front. Thank you for being here today.